line up her vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up her vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. We got good vibrations all morning long. David Lee Roth, Roth Radio. Yeah. I've got my special guest, Elizabeth Haight, and she is the relationships columnist on the New York Post for the New York Post. Don't forget, she's also the author of the book, I'm No Saint. She was here last week and she was talking about this. I was dabbling through that book and I have a few comments there. You've lived a very colorful life, my friend.
I have, but I look good though, right?
You look good now. Thanks for joining us, Liz.
No worse for the wear.
None whatsoever. Did you actually wake up or did you stay up for this?
Practically stayed up.
For this encounter. You hovered, huh? Okay, Liz lives here in Manhattan, and how long have you been a columnist in relationships here for the Post, Liz?
Oh, it's recent. My book came out in October, and as a result of the book, the editor of the Post came to me and said, we need a sex columnist, and we think you'll do it because you've already told everything about yourself.
Outstanding.
So my first column ran December 12th, and it's called Love and Haight, H-A-Y-T, just like my last name.
Ah, I couldn't think of anybody named Haight more inappropriately. You're the love doctor. What do you want to talk about this morning here, Liz? What is the subject of today? I have it here on my paper, but you tell me.
Well, yesterday's column, my column runs every Monday, and yesterday's column was about vibrator dependency.
Can you explain to us what vibrator dependency actually is? My ears are already perking up.
I think there's a pandemic of vibrator use among American women. It's actually true.
Why is that? Why is there an epidemic of people running out to buy vibrators? I always knew them from the pharmaceutical counter. There was a little thing with a picture of a woman holding it to her neck. But you're saying we're not holding it to the collective neck anymore.
And we're not riding the, you know, tumble cycle on the dryer anymore either.
I like it. Two women and a tumble dryer. I've never tried
on
that.
Top. I've
never tried that.
But I think, you know what's happened? Vibrators are now an expression of freedom and independent from male control, male dominance, and it's a way of reclaiming claiming your sexuality.
Okay, now this you've added a whole lot of political ingredients here. You've added some nationalism, some empowerment, some identity, whatever.
Yeah.
Does this mean you're using both hands?
Four. There are certain words I'm not allowed to say on air, so I don't know what you're referring to.
Nevertheless, when you're talking about it, you're talking about women using vibrators, okay?
Yes, I am.
Correct?
Yes.
How many millions of women are actually pursuing this now?
Well, one statistic I know is that the adult toy store Babeland told me that 41% of their sales comes from vibrators, and that's the most lucrative category, and the bulk are bought by women.
What kind of women? What's the general profile?
Absolutely. A range, you know, all classes, races. The way I started, one day I walked into Henry Bendel.
Please reacquaint us.
Yes. Well, it was just by happenstance. I walked into Henry Bendel on Fifth Avenue, which is owned by the Limited Brands. Okay, mass company.
Certainly.
And I walk into the lingerie store, and there you turn a corner. Is an adult section
in that store? That's like a Macy's. That's like a Walmart or something. Such a high end Walmart there.
Yeah.
Okay, and was this appointed in a very Upper East Side kind of a way, or did they have like leopard skin? Did they do like the Navarro Electra approach? Or explain this. What did
they
it look
had like toys, things that really look like toys, rubber duckies. I don't know if they sold it there, but there's one that looks like a lipstick. You know, they'll double. Like, you can keep them in my purse.
In case the kids find it.
Exactly. In fact, I have, as a gift, somebody gave me, it's from Japan, a Miss Kitty.
Is it in place right now?
God forbid, no. It's too early in the morning.
Well, maybe that's why you couldn't sleep, darling. Anyway.
So you're saying I'm still on double A?
It could be. We have an extension cord. This could be on. This interview could last a while here.
Oh,
gently, animal. What? Gently, animal.
Settle down now, boys.
So what do you think this is? Is this because homeboy at home is not taking care of his spousely responsibilities, and the little Miss Princess is running down to Babeland to prop him up, in so many words?
Well, that's a funny thing, because originally I was thinking that there may be a correlation between this very limp horizon on the part of men. You know, with younger guys, a lot of them are taking antidepressants, and with older guys, they take, you know, blood thinners and heart medication, all of which affect libido.
Okay.
And so I started to think, is this mass use of vibrators, if you could chart it in relation to, let's say, Viagra, would there be some kind of, you know, proportionate exponential growth in vibrator use as a result? I don't know. I was just speculating.
Okay, well, that's an interesting idea. Let's walk through that together here. You saying that with the rise just in the sexual stimulants like Viagra, Cialis, whatever, okay, that with the rise of that, you've also seen a rise in women going to buy vibrators. You kind of perceive that?
I do, but I'm not sure there's definitely a correlation, but it did occur to me. You know, what's going on here? The other thing is...
Well, I think probably if you're taking Viagra, and I have taken it a few times before, is little Elvis gets a mind of his own. And he doesn't even remember your name, Liz. I can imagine that it might be an impersonal experience, but keep in mind that with fellas, whether you win last place or first place with us, you always get the same trophy.
Well, little Elvis does the same thing for us.
Okay. So you're saying that some women are getting tired of that impersonal approach?
I would say it's closer to the lack of performance approach, because I think that Viagra, Cialis, all those things are a little iffy. They don't always work.
Okay.
You know, and you got to wait till the guy wants to take it. So maybe women are taking into their own hands, their hands, literally.
Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. Do you listen to music while you're doing this, or do you recommend it?
We won't talk about me right now. I don't think you need to light candles. It's business. You know, this is like a biological imperative. You do it because you need to. I have a really good girlfriend. She's my oldest friend. And she has a great boyfriend. They have a fine sex life. But every afternoon, it's clockwork. You call her up, she says, gotta go, you know what I gotta do.
Okay, is he aware that that's sitting in the drawer?
Oh, yeah.
Has he given it a name?
Did you read in my column that I know another woman who named hers?
Oh, well, this is a tradition. What did she name hers?
She had one that she called Joy, and that one was a...
Well, there's an identity issue there. That's a woman's name. Okay, this is...
And then that one went on the fritz. That one broke down, and so she got a new one, and she called that one Boy.
Okay, then so the boys are a little more dependable?
It's a newer model.
What's happening with guys who find Boy in the drawer next drawer to the bed, and Boy is about as big around as a Budweiser can and more dependable than a kickstand on a Harley Davidson? Are guys having mental traumas from this?
Good question. This particular man has got Olympian sexual stamina, and she is vibrator dependent, so he uses the vibrator.
Stop right there. Vibrator dependent. Please share with us what that really means.
What it really means is that a woman has used a vibrator so often that she becomes desensitized to just more delicate forms of human touch, because vibrators, an ordinary vibrator can go 9,600 RPMs, which is the equivalent to a BMW M5 running at 200 miles per hour.
Or my toothbrush. Wow.
You can't keep up, baby.
No, you can't keep up.
It's a jackhammer.
So, yeah, that's a jackhammer. That's a steel-belted radio black power model. So I can see, you know, where somebody would be become dependent on that. Mm-hmm. Little princess is at home right now stretching more than her coffee break. So what does that mean, that I got to start dating smaller women? So she does this every day, 7 days a week,
yes.
Huh?
Well, not when the kids are home.
Ah.
She takes a kitty break.
But she's dependent on this. It has become a physical addiction of sorts, right?
At 1 p.m., but it's a very efficient use. She's not really doing it, you know, to prolong the experience. You know, we're talking...
Stress relief. Seriously.
Or habit,
huh?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when she stops? She have withdrawals? She have physical withdrawals from this?
Never known her to stop.
Does she go into... What happens when somebody does? They go into depression?
No.
Do they start to miss it?
I think you get really itchy.
Like any other dependence, probably.
Yeah, but to break the dependency, which I wrote about in my column, you have to go cold turkey for about a month. Total detox.
Or date animal, huh? What do you mean cold turkey? Away from any other sexual resource at all, right?
Yeah, I think you've got to duct tape or put in the freezer the sex toy, just like you would credit cards you'd abuse. You got to totally behave differently. It's behavior modification. So you detox by getting rid of the thing for a month, and then you have to rely on more traditional techniques that relate to manual
hands-on.
Hands-on experiences, exactly.
I'll translate this so that you're starting to simulate what Homeboy should have been doing all this time, right?
You've got to get yourself back in working order. You've got to recover.
Yeah, now this brings up to the mind of Sexual Addicts Anonymous or whatever. It's like AA or NA, Narcotics Anonymous.
Right.
There's Sex Addicts Anonymous. I don't know, you know.
So we need VA.
Vibrators Anonymous. Uh-huh. Does this now become something that somebody stands up and says, thank you for letting me share. I'm really treasure all of you is in my really treasure these rooms, and I have 30 days without the little Jesus.
You can count days. I think you have to come up and say, hi, I'm a vibrator vixen. You know, I'm Debbie.
Okay. And this is a possibility, though. This is now going to come up because I got, no pun intended, but I have had a girlfriend who had this fixation.
What did you do about it?
Well, I got hands-on. I said, hey, I used to work construction. Let me show you how to do that thing. No, I'm not kidding. And we used to have a great time. But no matter how well I did, she would reach for that at the end of the
She was dependent.
Oh, totally dependent. Or I would come home in the afternoon and, you know, she was there, you know. What's the word, honey? Legs. Spread the word.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Yeah, but it was a fixation of hers. Mm-hmm. It became almost like the blue blanket. It became, it was like a lollipop kind of a thing. Because she was completely satisfied and she would then go for that because that was extreme.
You know, the guys that I interviewed about this told me that they would prefer, well, two guys I interviewed. One said, it's cool if a chick does it like as a novelty thing, but if she brings it out four or five times every time you're together, the guy begins to feel deficient, you know, like he's inadequate. And another guy told me he doesn't like the, you know, day glow, fluorescent, and too humanly correct ones. He just prefers the straight, streamlined wands, the ones that have no frills, because otherwise it gets too much like real competition.
It becomes another entity.
Yeah.
It's sort of like when your girlfriend is going to the psychiatrist, there's always three people under the cover. You, her, and the shrink.
Well, what about your mother and your father?
Nah.
And all the ex-boyfriends?
That could possibly come into it. That's why she's going to the shrink. We're talking here to Elizabeth Haight. She's the weekly columnist on relationships for the New York Post. She's also the author of I'm No Saint, and she's talking about all kinds of relationship issues. Today is, can you get pleasure from using a vibrator, and how do the men do around this now? Because it's becoming an addiction.
Yes.
It's a physical addiction, I've got to imagine here.
I think that the pendulum for female empowerment and the free sexual libido that we've enjoyed is just swung too far. Too fast.
So you think there should be a retreat to this? Because once you become addicted to this, it's like pornography. How many women can actually add up to all my favorite pornos? How many women can
Absolutely.
Actually add up to what you see in the most extreme stuff? You
and
know?
There's also the emotional deficiency. I always feel, well, afterward, that, you know, I want to chuck the thing to the floor and I want a hand to hold. You know, I want the guy with the beating heart, not the battery.
Sure. But now that today is about cut corners. Now it's about, hey, cut across, shorty. Who too hip? Who's got the time?
Efficient.
Who's got the time, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how long does it actually take a woman, average time, with a standard vibrator? How many minutes does that actually take?
I don't think we're talking minutes. I think we're talking seconds.
Oh, wow. See, no guy can compete with that.
No. But do you really want to?
Well, you know, in terms of talking, I would see it as a competitive effort that I think I could do quite well. I could represent my country beautifully, but in terms of just structural dynamics, no, it's not sport to me. You know, something about, you know, can you talk dirty really creatively and really successfully? Sure, that's something that
can
I would.
You?
Oh, yeah.
And how do you do it? How do you get creative?
No, well, I'm not going to do it over the radio.
I know, but what's your psychology? What do you operate on when you do that?
It depends on the individual and what is the background of the individual.
Mm.
Try to figure out what's the unobtainable for the individual. You know where the best groupies come from, Liz?
Tell me.
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Why?
Routinely, because religious repression does amazing things for the backstage affair after the show. Same thing for economic repression. You know, when Pittsburgh was getting slammed and all the steel mills were closing and there was an economic disaster. Oh, the parties afterwards were huge. People seek a big release, okay?
So you say your sex life, you know, soars, it peaks when people are poor or oppressed by religion.
No, I'm saying that when those kinds of impacts happen to an individual, then if you talk to them in certain different ways, then it gives a release from that. For example, a girl who never had a dad used to ask me to behave like her husband. all the time.
Right.
And she would insist that I stick my head through the door. I would only run into this girl in Dubuque, okay? It's the only way I would know the name of that city. And she would make me do this. I would have to, you know, I would have to come in to the hotel room and stick my head out of the bathroom and go, honey, I'm home.
Or would it be, daddy's here?
No, no, that's a different.
That's a different psychology.
That's a lap dancer. Those you peel off the pole. That's a different thing. Liz, do you got a few more minutes? Can you sit through a commercial and come back with us?
I would love to.
I'm talking to Elizabeth Haight, the relationships columnist for the New York Post. She wrote, I'm No Saint, and we're talking about turn it off and you'll get turned back on. Don't go away. Roth Radio, penetrating.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, and I'm dreaming of good vibrations here. I'm talking to Elizabeth Haight. She is the relationship columnist for my favorite, the New York Post. Don't forget that her column is at New York Post. It's called Love and Hate, and it's posted on the website, ElizabethHaight.com. That's Elizabeth, HAYT.com. I can't think of anybody who should not have the word hate more than you. You're Elizabeth Love, baby.
I hated it growing up. You know, it was awful. Like, remember in the locker, your cubby in grade school, you'd have to put your last name first?
Sure.
Hate Liz. And there was also a boy in my class named Michael Love. So, of course, I wanted to marry him when I was in kindergarten to get rid of hate.
You were an artist in the very beginning here. Is using a vibrator an art form? Is that something you have to learn how to do?
No.
That's just like riding a bicycle. It comes natural, huh?
Well, I'd say more like sucking your thumb.
Okay.
Because riding a bike, you actually have to be taught.
But this, there's just no question about it. However you do it, all the roads are going to lead to Rome. I'm trying to think of a successful way to say this and still keep my career in radio here. So, I'm talking to Elizabeth Haight. She's talking about Turn It Off to Get Turned On, which was her column yesterday. Again, explain to the fans what it is we're sharing here about vibrators here.
Well, I wrote about, in the column yesterday for the New York Post, my column Love and Hate, I wrote about vibrator dependency and what I believe is a growing problem among women.
And do you think that's the guy's fault or that's just women getting tired of waiting around? What do you think?
Definitely women getting tired of waiting around. You know, it's all a part of just free expression.
Okay, let's take some calls here. Mike says he's got a toy in somebody's dresser drawer here. Mike, you're on Roth Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, man? I love your guys' show.
Thank you so much.
Always got something good to talk about.
All right.
And let me tell you, I bought Big Red years ago.
Big Red. Now, is that what it said on the label, or did you christen it that?
No, we christened it Big Red.
We? Oh, the plot is already thickening. I already have development and characters. Who is
it? Is it really red?
Who is Reed?
Yes, it is. It's a big, giant red
one.
Like vibrator. Like a big two-handed Louisville slugger, right? who is we?
Vibrating monster.
Who is we?
And, we have a lot of fun with it.
Who is we?
Is every once in a while, and we have a lot of fun. My wife.
Okay, and how long have you guys been married?
Wow, 17 years.
Oh, when did Big Red make his first appearance? Or when did Big Red make his first disappearance?
About 13, 14 years ago, we got him.
Ooh, right away he entered the picture. No pun intended, huh?
How fast do your batteries run down?
See, this is a technical question that people want to know because
she keeps it charged up.
See, oh, okay, so you have a wall charger.
So it's a plug-in variety.
We got plenty of batteries in the house. We're always buying batteries for flashlights.
See, because if you have a wall charger, then that indicates that you're like McDonald's calls a heavy user, and that
you got it hooked up to a dry cell.
That's amazing. You got to hook it up. Do I hear her laughing in the background there? This is so funny. Do you think that this is something that has glued the relationship together, or is this something that is prying you two apart?
Well, I think it's kind of helped because I do construction. Sometimes I come home and I'm beat tired and I don't want to be bothered. And she just goes and opens the drawer and guess what? All of a sudden, I got a little energy in me.
Okay, so you're inspired into action when she produces this like a conductor with a baton, right? Here we go.
Yeah,
here's the downbeat.
So it's a marital aid. And, you know, another woman told me that she always uses it when the boyfriend comes home late. She's got a boyfriend. And If the boyfriend comes home late, he's too tired, she likes to get herself going. It speeds it up for him. It's like doing him a favor.
Ah, see, what I did is I took all my gold and platinum records and I put them all the way down the hallway to my bedroom, and I get two drinks in her and walk her past the gold records, and it cuts my foreplay right down to 30%.
Oh, that's it.
Thanks for calling, Mike. 866-313-3733. I'm talking to Elizabeth Haight. She's our relationship guru here. This is her second time here, and she's also written a great book called I'm No Saint, which is a composite of a very colorful existence here.
It's a memoir.
A memoir.
Which is a dirty word these days.
Well, it could be if you faked it, but I don't detect any transparency in you at all, hot stuff. Let's talk to Jack. He says the toys take off the pressure. Who loses the pressure, Jack? You or the missus? Go ahead.
Well, the pressure's obviously removed from you. You know, sometimes a bloke, poor fellow, he might have some medical condition that creates performance anxiety, and it doesn't always work. There's no throttle and steam working. So if you've got a lady friend that you want to operate toys with and she's with it, I think it's a good thing.
Just don't get it confused with the remote control for your DirecTV, huh? No, you have a very interesting comment there, because I was joking around and I thought the obvious answer would be no, it's for the missus. Of course, it releases her pressure, and here's a fellow who's saying, hey, I got other issues.
Well, this is the point I made. You know, it was just, you know, speculation, but I thought that with men taking more medication for, let's say, older men, heart medication, blood thinners, or younger guys and older guys taking mood stabilizers, you know, antidepressants, it's really affecting their libido. And so vibrators, I don't know if there's a correlation, but are on the rise.
Oh, we're totally a drug culture. Are you kidding? We take a pill for virtually everything now. You want to gain weight? You want to lose weight? I don't want to do either, but I want to look like the guy on the label on the jar. You know, we're constantly rechanging our chemistry. And how many of us are actually training regularly, you know, in terms of walking a distance a day or running a distance a day?
Keeping fit. You know what? Vibrators are a way to keep fit.
What? You telling me there's an aerobic value from from racing your little heart?
Well, I could argue. This is the counter
argument. No, sweetheart. Dilating your eyes doesn't qualify as aerobic. Aerobic training.
That was not what I meant.
But it's what I meant. So let's have Johnny talk to us about the panty party. He's on Johnny Roth Radio. You're in. Hit it. Go ahead.
9 days, 3 hours.
Go ahead, Johnny. Do you have a question for Elizabeth?
Not so much a question. I had a girlfriend that bought a pair of panties that had the vibrating mechanism right in the front of the panties.
Okay, that's one piece issue. You can't separate a pair.
You can take it out, the piece out of the panties, but she could put them on. You know, take it any time.
So it's hands free.
Hands free.
Yeah.
You know, she could take it on the way. Say in the morning, on the way to work, she's in the mood to take care of herself. Done.
Yeah, that's the newest rage, you know?
What? It's undetectable, right?
Yeah, and it's basically, does she have a remote control for it?
It's a little wire that's maybe like 12 inches that she can get right into her pocket unnoticeable, you know?
I hope she's not driving with that thing on.
She may well be driving with it. How do I detect, Liz, if somebody is actually utilizing as he's speaking? How will I know if I'm at the Carnegie Deli and I want to scan the room? How will I know who the likely suspect would be?
I would say anybody buckling at the knees.
Or the girl with the best skin condition?
For the girls, you know, I mean, if you think about guys, when we were younger, I wish I had a machine that could take care of me, you know, in my peak as a adolescent, you know?
And hey, it's like when the guys in the ambulance garage used to say, go screw yourself. I say, hey, if I could do that, I wouldn't be hanging out with you. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Liz, what are some of the signs that you become too dependent on a device? Is there actual visual implications here? Again, you know, okay, I can make jokes about, you know, stuttering, drooling.
Well, I wouldn't say visual, but I spoke to this sex therapist, and she said that she didn't think you could do nerve damage, that you could actually, but you could desensitize yourself so that you would require, you know, extreme stimulation and pressure to get yourself back or to get yourself to work, to get the engine going.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about extreme stimulation of the imagination?
No.
You're talking about tactile, hands-on, or plastic-to-skin kind of stimulation.
Like jackhammer stimulation.
Oh, really? Like a boxer no longer feels it when you punch him in the nose. No, I'm serious.
And so that's why you have to go cold turkey and go manual.
Okay, this is an interesting comment, because what a boxer develops are called neuropedes, okay? No, seriously, like neuron impediments, okay? And we're not sure if it's chemical or if it's a mental function. Mm-hmm. But that's how a boxer can take so many punches in the nose over and over again. Originally, as a kid, it hurts like hell. But something in your brain develops a defensive maneuver. It develops what's called neuropeds, okay, in between the neuron synapses. And you're saying the exact same thing.
Well, it's like you can get numb. You numb yourself to, as I said, more delicate forms of human touch. That's okay. What the shrink told me.
And once there, can you actually retreat and go back and sensitize the area?
So long as you go cold turkey and then you only stay manual.
Oh, now I got to go cold turkey on something like
You got to put your friend away for a while.
Well, it's not my friend, but I got to go cold turkey when she does. Is that true?
Well, you can't use the toy, but she's got to, this is another thing I wrote in my column. She's got to use all of her neurons, really concentrate hard to get re-in touch with any tingling below the waist. You can't ignore even the slightest touch. And I think if you retrain your brain, you can, quote, come back.
There you go. Plus, if you tell her to just breathe through your nose, it's all win, win, win. Okay, 866-313-3733, Amber, a great color. You're on, Amber. What's up?
Hi, I'm hoping maybe you guys could help me out. I'm in my early 30s.
We can help you.
Good. I discovered the vibrator when I was about 10.
Can't help you.
Okay, and I've had, you know, many sexual partners, some one-night stands, some boyfriends that I've been in love with. Never been able to have an orgasm by a man.
Heard it. I have heard it before.
And I've heard it from girls, too. So what do you think? You get the orgasm coming from an implement as opposed from a guy. You've never had the great experience with a guy. Is that true?
Correct. And it's starting to become a problem. And now I'm afraid that you're going to tell me to go cold turkey on this thing.
No, I'm going to suggest that you think about girls and see how it goes. When you're with little Bobby there.
Oh, no. You know what? Do you think that it's because...
Oh, you would never want to test that?
I'm not talking about girls this week, but check out next week.
You're going to be here to tell me about it, hot stuff.
Yeah. I have a lot of things to say about it. But in terms of Amber, your problem, do you think that you have trouble letting go or you feel ashamed, you know, letting go in front of a guy?
I don't know. Everybody has a theory, and I try so hard, and maybe that's the problem.
Hold on. First, let's identify the word. You know, in Japanese, or rather Chinese, the word crisis, when you turn it upside down, says opportunity. So let's stop using the word problem. Mm-hmm. And let's refer to it as an opportunity. Okay, you're going to expand into something perhaps that you weren't aware of before. And that's why I said, well, if guys aren't getting you off, who do you think of when you're with your toy? Who do you think of?
I don't think of anybody in particular. I think of the actual action going on down there.
Okay, so it's all biomechanical. There's no face to it. There's no personality to it.
No, I think of the man's part as if it were
going... Doing its job.
It's just the part.
It doesn't have a face to it. It just is that part of the body.
Well, what do you think,
maybe
Liz?
Maybe the problem is when you actually get the face, it's distracting, or all the other parts that come with it. The talk, the breathing, the hands. Maybe that's the distraction.
But now, that's the part I like about sex too. People can't understand. Well, if you can't have an orgasm, why do you want to have sex? I'm like, there's so much more to sex than just the end result.
Well, have you ever offered your toy to your man?
Yeah, but it's...
I know, it's not great, but you know what? Integrating it can also help into your sex life.
And did you instruct him with a focus on what to do there? You just left it up to him,
he
and
he's embarrassed. You better tell him what to do.
Okay, well, see, that's the issue, because if you just handed it to homeboy, he's just going to shift it like gears in a Toyota.
You have to. You know what? You're going to have to get your guts level up. You're going to have to take this thing out and really let go of the shame and work it on yourself and show him how you do it. And I can guarantee you, guys love it. But don't tell, just show.
Yeah, and you know what else a good recommendation for this also is when you give it to him and he's using it with you, tell him to pretend that he's writing really little, like with a ballpoint pen, and tell him to write the entire Pledge of Allegiance.
I love that.
Oh, yeah, you won't make it halfway through and you'll feel so national.
That like certain people just can't have. Isn't the orgasm different when you're versus the outside part?
Yes.
Okay.
But so
yeah,
work
so
on.
That's what I'm looking for.
Hey, sometimes you park and walk over, but at the end of the day, it's all about two people being together. And it sounds like you're having a difficulty figuring a face to this.
I think the key word was the embarrassed word. That's the whole problem.
That's it. I think you're right.
Are you embarrassed to use your imagination, Amber?
She's embarrassed to tell the guy what to do. Maybe what she wants him to do.
Is the guy your husband or your boyfriend?
I'm single.
Listen, if you don't want to tell, you can always take a guy's hand gently, show him, use his hand like your friend or your rubber or plastic friend, and show him what you want, but without saying it. I don't think any man resists that.
No, especially if you just move right to monosyllables.
Ooh.
Hold on, I'm going to fire it up right now, babe. Mm-hmm. Don't go away. You're going
to
sit with us for one more minute here, Elizabeth? Please do. Don't go away. We're talking to Elizabeth Haight on relationships, at least the mechanical part of it this afternoon. I'm David Lee Roth, live. I got good vibrations for you, babe. Yeah, baby. Roth Radio, David Lee Roth in charge, and there's a whole lot of shaking going on. 866-313-3733, and sitting right alarmingly close to me is the real Elizabeth Haight. I'll have you know I sat next to the fake Paris Hilton.
Oh, you did?
I have to work my way up to the fake Paris Hilton, but I'm a celebutard, and I'm about to get my 6th-degree black belt here, Liz. Liz, though, is an expert on relationships, and she is the author of the New York Post column on relationships and also a great book called I'm No Saint. She was here just recently last week to talk about that, and today she is sharing with us everything you're going to find on ElizabethHaight.com, H-A-Y-T, ElizabethHaight.com.
Elizabeth Hot.
Elizabeth Hot, there you go. And I'm Tyrannosaurus Roth.
I love you boys.
We're talking about vibrators and general apparatus and the part it plays in the American conjugal bliss landscape.
Not necessarily conjugal.
Okay. It could lead, if you use it correctly, it could lead to conjugal, huh?
You know, it used to be used, it was sold for that purpose as a marital aid. And now women are coming in and buying them for themselves. I think men used to buy them for women at sex shops.
Okay, but now you brought up something, Liz, during the break here, mm-hmm. that you get a lot of cards and letters, mostly from who? Who are you?
Men. It's almost like 95% men.
That's surprising to me. Why is that surprising?
You tell me. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I'm writing a column from a female perspective. Why don't I get more responses from women?
Guys are ambition driven, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whether or not we make jokes, you know, about who cares how you did, I got mine, you know, you'll find yours or whatever. In fact, most guys are very driven to deliver the groceries properly, okay? Mm-hmm. There's got to be the big finish. There's got to be the cherry at the end of the sundae, especially if you care about that girl. Whether even if it's just for one night, you just got a couple of lap dances, you decided to make it into a soiree. Who speaks French anyways? It's still important.
I'll tell you, they ask me all sorts of advice, you know, I had a guy who emailed me after I wrote about having an affair with a married man, and he said, "What hotels do you recommend, and what are the rates?" How would I know that sort of a question?
Why don't you think that more women are actually calling in on a subject matter like this? What's cooking there?
I'd really like to know. I mean, I'd like to actually do a column that's less based on sex and more based on love to see if I get more female responses. Is it the content that makes people, women, uncomfortable? Or is it that men just assume that if a woman's writing about sex, it's a come on, no matter what?
I don't think it's about the content. I think it's about the presentation. How many people have a lot they want to say but freeze as soon as the microphone goes on? How many people can play the hell out of an instrument, but as soon as they stand mm-hmm. on stage with other people watching, they freeze? How many times have you wanted desperately to say something to somebody, mm-hmm. you let 3 weeks go by, you suddenly run into them as you're checking in through the door at your apartment, you go, I meant to talk to you?
So are you saying that my sexual candor makes men who really want to talk about it anyway but can't, maybe they don't have the right, you know, friends or guys, this is like some kind of license to express themselves?
You're like a mystery dream date in the case of, okay, finally, I got a mature gal with a sense of humor that I can share these kinds of thoughts and these kinds of ideas with.
I get constant offers, I've got to say. And I think, guys, why are you doing this? You know, I've had
offers. Because they have an interest in their gal. It's mm-hmm. it's an interest in it's not an opportunity. That's a hell of a slip there, but I got an obligation. Anytime you slide into the sleeping bag with me,
yeah.
I have an obligation. I don't know where I learned that. I don't know why I learned that, but I'm accountable to that.
So are you saying that I'm offering sort of like free educational sex in their minds? Like if they do it with me, then they're going to be better with another girl?
No, it's not that you're that they're having sex with you. It's the illumination that you gain from it.
Oh, as if I've got magic powers.
No, it's as if you know something that we may not. And then we can find that out from you and use it on Little Princess later, after the interview. Roth Radio, I'm David Lee Roth, 866-313-3733. James, he likes it too. Go ahead, James, you're on. Roth Radio, you're in.
Dave?
You.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Go ahead.
I've been married about 2.5 years. I've been with my wife for about 10. And about 2.5 years into the relationship, she introduced her little friend to us.
And was that a good thing, or was that...
What's that?
You have a pause in your voice there. Is that a good thing or a negative thing?
No, absolutely. It's a great thing. It was probably one of the best things to enter our relationship since we got together.
And who brought it into the family, you or her?
Definitely her. She had it a few years before we started dating.
And so did she spring it on you like, oh, I've got something to finally share with you? Was it sort of confessional, or did you always know about this?
No, I really had no idea about it. She just kind of sprung it on me one day. And
so, was your sex life slowing down? Was it a way to spice things up?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, not to blow my own horn here, but you know, we didn't have like a dull sex life or anything. But she just kind of brought it on one day and said, "Hey, look what I got!" And I was like, "Oh, holy crap!"
Okay, is this now an addiction? Is this something that if you took it out of the fold, that it would be sorely missed?
I would probably have to say yes.
Okay.
Oh, they're dependent.
There you go. And if you just threw it away and she couldn't get to another one, what would your sex life be like?
I guess pretty much average, I guess you would say. You know, I mean, you know, it actually helped a lot after the baby came along. You know, it just kind of seemed like she really wasn't into the lovemaking aspect after the baby was born.
Not unusual. Liz, what do you think about that? Does that come into play pretty frequently, women who've already had a kid, and now there's been some cooling there?
Well, look, biologically, hate to get Darwinian on you, but don't you think that there's a period of time when, you know, a woman's body is off limits because it would be I guess physically too taxing to have another baby too soon, and B, not healthy for the infant who needs taken care of. So if a woman gets pregnant too soon, then both she and the child will be compromised. So it's no wonder the female libido, you know, tapers a bit after having a baby.
So it's a natural thing for those little knees to slam shut with the same final
Absolutely.
Sound as the front door at Folsom Prison.
I think everybody should be thankful for that.
And this is the key that you're talking about. This is the key to the castle. Thanks for calling, James. 866-313-3733. Is this something that you participate in, or is this something that you have just a fascination with?
Well, in my column, I wrote that I shockingly got my first toy. I discovered my brother's Penthouse magazines. We were all very close in age. We're teenagers. And I ordered a toy from the back of, you know, a back advertisement. And so this big, clunky, whirring thing came in the mail. I have no idea how it got past my parents. And the family's housekeeper was digging around in my dance bag one afternoon. God knows why she was doing that. And in my ballet slippers, in between them, she found the toy. So she gave it to my mother. And my mother didn't say a word. She just put it on my bed. Now, my mother was, I would say, a conflicted feminist. It was during the 70s. I said it right in my column. It was the Helen Reddy, Hear Me Roar days.
Okay, how old was she? Your mom.
I guess she must have been in her maybe late 30s, closing in on 40 at the time. So
not old at all. Okay.
Okay. So, you know, since I wasn't condemned for having the toy, I just took it as license to use it. It granted me permission to get my jollies off, you know, at a very young age. But now I have begun to question my attachment to devices as well as other women's.
Well, what happens with devices is that it becomes, one is never so much yourself as when you're wearing a mask. And if you start to use toys, then it's going to enter into, you know, well, what are you wearing when you use the toy? Then it becomes, what's the lighting? And you start to create a ritual, and it becomes more about the ritual frequently than actually the interaction between the two people. Agree
if
or disagree?
Yeah, if you're using the vibrator as a sex aid with a partner. I mean, you know, I was talking about the monomaniacal use of vibrators, excessive use for self-gratification.
Okay. And this is these are increasing in sales by leaps and bounds. You're seeing, where did you, what store did you see this section in?
I interviewed the co-founder of Toyland, used to be known as Babes in Toyland, and she told me that 41% of all sales go to vibrators, which is the most lucrative category, and the bulk of them are bought by women.
I happen to know Toyland because I lived in that neighborhood for a while. That is run by women, for women primarily,
yes.
Is
yeah.
it not?
And there's actually a whole movement of late called Natural Contours. It's a whole new line that are these are ergonomic devices.
They shaped look, like you are.
Well, they double as design objects. You could actually put them on a coffee table and they look sort of like those Japanese stones that you use in a spa.
Yeah, if you live below 14th Street.
No, at Mila on 69th Street on the Upper East Side, that is the palace of these gorgeous ergonomic designs. And there's one called The Bone that's black and it looks as if it's almost like a Philippe Stark object.
The only thing I can correlate with that was the first time I went to Japan and it had a little thing because in Japan, you're not allowed to sell those back then, at least in the late 70s and the early 80s. They didn't even have sexy magazines, you know, Playboy or whatever. And the one that I saw was Mrs. Butterworth, the little container that has syup for pancakes.
Yeah.
And her little head would go around. And around.
They're so inventive there.
Okay. Somebody else is dependent here. AJ, he's on track 13 there, Hutch. AJ, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, Dave.
Is your wife dependent, and what is she dependent on, AJ?
Yes, she is. We've been married 16 years. She has this this toy that she purchased at an adult play party, toy party. Mm-hmm. It was quite expensive. And
how much is quite expensive?
It was $150.
Whoa.
That's good. That's high tech. But you know that bone that I talked about? $390. So they can even get higher. Go on.
I'll give you a can of Red Bull unopened. You can even store it in the freezer. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. I'm sorry. Just looking at this thing, it does things that, you know, are humanly impossible.
Absolutely. As I just said, I said earlier that the average speed of a vibrator is 9,600 RPMs, and that is the equivalent to a BMW M5 going 200 miles per hour. And a lot of these devices, as you well know, can gyrate, pulsate, and they also have dual action potential. They're not just one appendage, but two appendages.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
So essentially you can plug it in and take her home like a six-pack when she's done, huh?
Exactly. The problem with it is it's very hard for her to obtain a finish normally.
Without the toy.
Without the toy.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Usually it's an thing.
Okay.
But it takes so long that with this toy, it's a matter of 5 minutes.
For you, so you're getting a sore jaw.
Exactly.
Either that or carpal tunnel. You are a man trapped between a rock and a hard place. It sounds to me like you got to learn to talk along with it, that you got to take a hold of the stick shift yourself and learn to talk it into place in so many words.
You need an alternative. Yeah. I think we should call it, I hope I can call it this, the 12-inch program?
Probably.
Okay.
But she does find herself to be dependent on this, and every couple of months she has to lock it away.
There you go, the detox program.
She gets the feeling like she's broken what she has because nothing else works.
That's exactly what you have to do.
Just a toy. Just a toy works, and you know she relies so much on that. After 45 minutes of foreplay, she's like, get the toy.
So does the abstinence help? Oh, no, so you're saying it doesn't. She tries to get off the wagon.
Yeah, but isn't abstinence like hitting your head on the wall so it feels good when you stop?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks for calling Roth Radio. Okay. My special guest here, Elizabeth Haight. Don't forget, Elizabeth Haight, HAYT.com. She's also the author of I'm No Saint and our favorite relationship guru counselor, my new hero. She writes for the New York Post. Liz, will you come back next week and share some more?
I would love to.
Who loves you? Say it. Say it.
David does.
Elizabeth Haight, ladies and gentlemen, give her a hand and don't go away. We'll be right back with more glorious illumination and good vibrations after this.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.